Hi, this is Mike Smith. Welcome to the Faith Center Podcast Network. We want to be a source of hope, joy, and encouragement on your drive to work, your time at home, or anywhere in between. Be sure to like and subscribe to get all of our daily and weekly content. For more information about Faith Center and the podcast network, please visit lgfoursquare.com. That's lg4square.com. If you would like to be part of the conversation, you can email the show at podcast@lgfoursquare.com. Thanks, and enjoy the show.
Hello there.
Jeez.
Welcome to the Barnes Project. We got an interview today, but first, before I introduce who we're interviewing, I got Chong in the studio with me.
Hello there.
Sounded good.
Yeah, I did it good.
You're
that time?
Good, yeah.
Oh, man. I really felt like I was out of my body, hovering over
You're
myself.
Watching yourself speaking to a microphone?
Jumping into that moment, and I got to say, it was incredible.
It feels good, doesn't it? So I'm actually referencing something, and every once in a while, I need to remind our listeners, if you know what I'm referencing, if you know what I'm saying, or what it's from that I'm quoting, feel free to write the show.
We've had people write the show,
yeah.
And they got it right.
Yeah, and we sent out some coffee cards, some gift cards, or a candy bar, I don't know, maybe both, I don't remember. But it was
you did?
Least, yeah, we sent out a coffee card. Yeah,
oh, nice.
Gift card. Yeah. So if you know what it is, write into the show at podcast@lgfoursquare.com. That's podcast@lg4square.com. And we'll give you something if you get it right.
It turns out that's not an empty promise. That's really
no,
out there
we
for
really,
you.
It's not like some radio shows where it's like, call in and we're going to give you, you know, a piece of Elvis's rug. And then it's just a piece of rug. It's no, mm-hmm. We actually follow through. That was in a movie I just watched, by the way, that they did that.
Really?
Yeah, that's why.
That was oddly specific.
That's why. Anyway, we're in the studio today with John Thiessen. How you doing, John?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys today?
We're good. I'm excited to have you in here. This is your first time in the studio?
This is the first time in the studio.
In this studio, though?
In this studio, it's true.
Oh.
Yeah. I actually hadn't been in the building for, pre-COVID, so it's been a while. It looks really good in here. I like it.
We have carpet now, by the way.
I noticed that.
In the sanctuary.
He's been into the sanctuary, but you're talking this next gen building.
I've been in the sanctuary.
Haven't seen the studio. This is actually not where the studio started either. It started in Chong's office.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it just kept growing and we built this table and we moved it over here and
we spend a lot of time in here.
Yeah.
I like the table.
Yeah.
Looks good.
It's been a fun project.
Yeah.
So
cool.
So really what we just talked about as far as this podcast and growing it and building the studio, we actually want to talk to you about what did your last year look like and what is it that you do and that gives us a really unique perspective into our community in this season.
So I am the court security deputy for the sheriff's office. I've been with the sheriff's office for about 6 years now. Started in late 2014 as a corrections reserve. From there, I went to patrol, was a couple years as a patrol deputy, stepped back from that for a while, stayed on as a reserve. And then in February of last year, Kara and I bought a house here in town, and I went back to the sheriff's office as the court security deputy. So I see a lot of people there. Mm-hmm. I see some people that I know and meet a lot of people that I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a really challenging year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that many, many people say that, but I think that Kara and I could probably authentically say this was the worst year of our life.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. And
before we move on, could you define what a court security deputy does?
I'm basically a TSA agent who doesn't make you take your shoes off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Then why did I take my shoes off last time I was in there?
Right.
Just for fun.
It wasn't me. No, I have like a metal detector that I have people walk through, mm-hmm. and if it beeps, make them go back and figure out what's in their pockets,
mm-hmm.
and have an x-ray machine for anything else.
Have you had like somebody walk in, it's like, oh, that's my metal hip or anything like that?
Oh yeah, totally.
Pacemakers. Do pacemakers set them off?
Pacemakers are not supposed to go through the metal detector.
Right.
They
so
have
you should know
exemption.
Better.
Right.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
And that's on them to know.
It is on them to know.
You're bad.
If you walk through and go beep, beep, and I say, oh, what's that? It's my pacemaker. Oh,
well,
talk
stop.
To your doctor about
stop
that.
Stop it.
We're not going to make you go back through.
Yeah.
Let me go get the wand. So yeah, that's kind of what I do. If there's a disturbance of some kind in the courthouse, then I take care of that. If there's somebody that shows up with a warrant in the courthouse, which happens probably once a month or so, then usually right now under COVID restrictions, they're getting a citation and a court date to appear, but sometimes they get to go to jail. Just kind of depends on what the warrant's for.
They get a free trip.
Right. free escort from the courthouse to jail.
Nice.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, taxpayer funded.
Sure.
So we take them.
Yeah. You're welcome. Yeah. Sure. Awesome. So this was a hard year.
It was a really hard year. I will say that early in the year, February, when I started this job and when we bought the house, that was the time. We didn't know it at the time, but that was God setting us up for the rest of the year to put us in a spot where we were secure, we were provided for, and we wouldn't have to worry about a lot of things that people have had to worry about through 2020 because we had our own set of struggles.
Mm-hmm. Started this job in February?
Yes.
What were you doing before that?
Before that, I was with Next Step Flooring
for
full time. Right. I was still reserved with the sheriff's office. I wasn't doing a whole lot with them, but rodeos and things like that kind of got shut down. So the things that I would normally do as a reserve were kind of by the wayside. Mm. So
in February, when you started this job, that's something consistent.
Mm-hmm. Very consistent.
So February, we're talking February, March, a month away from big shutdowns.
Yes.
You stepped into a consistent job.
Yes.
And you're able to keep regular hours and all that during this time?
Yes. There's a constitutional mandate for the courts to stay open. Mm. So the job is very, very steady. It's Monday through Friday, weekends off, holidays off, which has been a huge blessing family-wise.
Yeah.
To have that and to have the benefits that come with that job has been really incredible.
That's pretty phenomenal. Thank you, God, for that timing.
Absolutely.
Although I would also imagine probably not the easiest time to be learning a new job when everybody's learning new rhythms and patterns.
There wasn't a whole lot that I had to kind of pick up on the go. I mean, the court security policies, yes. Mm-hmm. But as far as the day-to-day function, it was very, very similar to what I would do on patrol in a lot of ways. Gotcha. Just the way that you're interacting with people, your authority as a deputy, it doesn't change. It's the same whether you're on patrol or whether you're in the courthouse. So there were very, very few things that I had to relearn, so to speak. It's kind of like riding a bicycle in a lot of ways.
Sure.
You just kind of, there's been some law changes since I left full time. So that affects it a little bit. Had to learn those. But for the most part, you just kind of step right in and go.
How do law changes get relayed to you? How do you find out? Is it up to you to keep up on all that stuff?
Usually there's a training. So usually the management says, you know, this is coming down the line and we want you guys to be up to speed on this so that you can do your jobs right.
Gotcha. Wow. Cool.
Yep. It happens every once in a while. I think the big one this year that everybody's going to talk about is the decriminalization of drugs, which has not affected what I do a whole lot. Before that came down the line, I think I had one gal that brought something in her purse, but
That
happens sometimes.
Is that one of those things that's like nationally different than it is in Oregon?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So nationally, we're still...
Nationally, drugs are still criminalized. Mm-hmm. So say you're on Forest Service property and a federal Forest Service law enforcement agent catches you with drugs on your person, you're getting charged in federal court with a felony for drug possession.
We kind of march to a different beat in Oregon.
We do. Very much so. Very much so.
Which is beautiful and challenging, I imagine, because you have to keep track of national but also local information.
It can be. We don't actually have to keep track of the national stuff as much because it doesn't affect our authority. Our authority is based off the Oregon ORS, Oregon Revised Statutes.
Gotcha.
So if you're listening to this podcast out there and you don't live in Oregon, we don't understand our laws either. Yeah, it's not just you.
We get it. We're weird.
We don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Everything in 2020 and now into 2021, we're just doing the best we can.
One step at a time, right?
We don't know. So 2020, February, you get this new job. Mm-hmm. March.
Bought a house.
So
it wasn't just getting the house. The house is literally right across the street from Maxine and Mark.
Yeah.
Which is a huge piece of this blessing.
Are we neighbors?
Are we?
I think
you guys were over off at May Lane still.
No.
Mm-hmm. They're on the other side by Riveria.
Yeah. So we're like between.
Oh, we're not neighbors at all.
Okay.
That side, that
we're
that
both direction. In La Grande. I mean, that kind of makes you neighbors by default.
Good point.
I mean, if we were,
you're north side,
right?
South side.
You got the high taxes over there.
Yeah,
actually. Weird. It's really weird.
My taxes suck, and my street is ugly.
I don't understand.
I don't have like functioning sidewalks. I don't have street drains. I don't have anything except crappy streets and high taxes.
Yeah, it's really weird. Your street is like 2 feet wide.
I know. Also,
there's no room. There's
nowhere to park. Yeah. There's nowhere to think.
Well, so anyway,
our street just got repaved.
Oh, did it?
Last year.
Jealous.
Oh man, it's so nice.
Is it? Oh, did you? Do you have storm drains?
No, we don't.
Oh well, okay.
So let's back up for our listener. Who are Mark and Max, and why is it significant that you're living across from them?
So Maxine and Mark are my in-laws, mm-hmm. and Maxine is probably the most loving person I have ever met on this mm-hmm. planet.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first time I met her, she was talking to me like I knew her.
Yep.
But that's yes. just what she does.
Yep.
She just knows you. She's just a family.
Hug yeah. and an I love you, and she means it, and it yep. freaks some people out, and some people just roll with it. And yeah. it's usually best to just roll with it, because no matter what you do or say, it's not going to change.
No. Yeah.
I honestly, yeah. 100%, didn't necessarily buy it at first.
Right.
I thought it was disingenuous and didn't, but family, if you're listening and you don't know who she is, she 100% means it, and she 100% loves you. She's not faking it. She's not putting on a churchy mask of, oh, I love you. She loves you.
Let me put it this way. When Kara and I we weren't even dating yet. I was just interested. I introduced my parents to Maxine and Mark before I introduced them to Kara. Mm.
It's going to pave the way yeah. right there.
Oh. It just so happened that Kara was out of town when they came to visit.
But I wonder if still. She wakes up that way. Like, does Maxine need a cup of coffee before she turns into
who we Max.
Know? To Max. No, I can actually vouch for that. Doesn't need to happen.
She hits the ground running?
Hits the ground running.
She's never not Max.
Right.
Blows my mind. Yep.
I lived in their driveway briefly.
Okay.
In the trailer?
Yeah. Yeah. In nice. The trailer, in their driveway. And I tried to make it into winter as long as I could. And like November, I was like, I can't do this anymore. It's too cold. But yeah, I lived in their driveway. Mm. It's an incredible couple. They're a blessing to our church family. So I would imagine they're a blessing to have as in-laws.
Absolutely. And neighbors across the street.
Yeah.
So Maxine watches our daughter Ryan when Kara's at work, which has been huge. Mm-hmm. But there's been some things that have come up this year that have made that blessing so much bigger. Mm. Just things that we've had to deal with. So I guess it was right after Thanksgiving, Kara was about 7 weeks pregnant or so and miscarried and had some complications that put her in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've asked for permission to share this.
Sure. So, it's good.
Many people know you, our amazing church family, brought us a lot of meals. A lot of people have been praying for us. We had Kara almost died as a result of that miscarriage. She was in the hospital for 3 days.
Wow.
And she, at one point, passed out and we couldn't get her back. And they started
was this at the hospital.
At the hospital, yes.
So you knew something was going on enough to get her there.
Exactly. I won't go into the details, sure. but this wasn't normal. And I knew it wasn't normal. And so I took her to the hospital, to the ER. And we'd been there for a while and they were kind of, I don't want to say treating it as routine, but it was obvious that this wasn't anything they weren't used to dealing with. Mm. And so it wasn't until she was seated next to the bed and passed out and slumped over onto me. Mm. The nurse, wow. Oh, okay. This happens sometimes, and tried to wake her up. And after 10 or 15 seconds of no response, she felt for a pulse and couldn't find one.
Oh no.
And so we hurriedly moved her back to the bed and I just got out of the room because there was tons of other people on their way.
Mm. Yeah,
they had the guy standing by with the shock pads. Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
And they did about 50 CPR chest compressions on her.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And it was about 3 minutes that she was out.
Wow.
And it was the longest 3 minutes of my life.
She didn't have a pulse for 3 full minutes.
Don't know if it wasn't a detectable pulse. So if she had a pulse, it was incredibly weak. Mm. So I was on my knees in the hospital hallway at the ER here in LeGrand, just praying,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Crying out. Cause that's all you can think to do in that mm-hmm. moment. And it was an experience I don't ever want to go through again, to feel that terror of I might lose my wife. I might not get to hug her again or tell her that I love her, or, you know, I'm happy that we're doing well, so to speak, at this moment, that our marriage is good, but I don't want this to be the end of it. You know, I don't want my daughter to grow up without really getting to know her mom, and I don't want to be a single dad. And you just have all these things rushing through your head and through your emotions, and you don't really know how to process it all. Mm-hmm. So crying out is really all you can do. And it was really scary.
Yeah.
And
So all of this was just going through your mind, just rushing through your mind in this moment of prayer, looking forward at what life could be.
Right.
And dealing with that, kind of trying to swallow the concept of all of this happening to you one day, just crying out to God saying, please no.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. And she's fully recovered from the miscarriage. We've had some other health things that have come up. We're not sure if it's as a result of the miscarriage or if the miscarriage just has kind of brought them to the forefront and they were there. So we would ask for continued prayer for those who have been praying.
Yeah.
And that's probably the biggest thing that's happened that was outside the normal. We had a car wreck on the way to my folks' house for Thanksgiving, and then on the way back, the miscarriage happened. So it was a heck of a weekend, one that I don't ever want to relive anything close to that. So fortunately, the car wreck, everybody was okay.
And where does your parents live, did you say?
I grew up outside Eugene.
Okay, so you went to visit them, and on the way back, you got in a car wreck.
No, on the way there, we got in a car wreck. On the way back, we just pulled into Le Grand. We hadn't been back in Le Grand for 2 hours yet.
Wow.
And she miscarried. So that you look at these situations and you can definitely see God's timing in them.
Yeah.
I'm back in this stable position. We have a wonderful house, like great house right across the street from my in-laws. And so when I took care of the ER, Maxine was able to come right across the street, start watching Ryan for us, and I could just take care of the ER. I didn't have to wait. And then I'm back in a job that gives me, I don't have to worry about finances when it comes to taking my wife to the hospital. I can just take her. So that was a huge blessing. And then to have the timing of just getting back to Le Grand within, I don't even know if it was an hour. I just know it was less than 2 hours that we'd been back in town.
Wow.
And I had to take her to the ER. So you see God's timing. You see his hand in circumstances that are not good. God is still good. And it's one thing to acknowledge that in your head.
Yeah.
And it's another thing to put that to the test.
Yeah.
It's another thing to have to live in a situation where it's got to be real, or I don't want to say it's meaningless otherwise, but when the rubber hits the road, you have to be willing to say, okay, to God, I'm going to trust you in this moment with the person who matters the most to me in this world and hope that you will allow me to continue to live my life with her. And even if you don't, you are still good. Even when my circumstances are not.
Yeah. That's good. So it's not easy.
It's not.
No. And it's, there is this, this tendency in all of us to, we can say with our mouth, God, you're good. But then in our head, we're like, but you're only good if you do what I want you to do.
Right.
Keep things the way that I want them. But there's that moment in our faith in all of us where we have to decide, is my faith more than just the words that I speak? Or is it the condition of my heart? And is it where I've placed my, my hope.
Right. Absolutely.
Not an easy place to be.
No, it's not an easy place to be, but it is a good place to be.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that God has really been showing me through bad circumstances, is that he still does good things. He still is with us. He doesn't promise that this life is going to be easy. He doesn't promise that it's going to be, you know, rainbows and butterflies and unicorns and all that. It's going to be tough. In this life, you will face struggle.
Yeah.
In this last year, in and in those moments that you would identify as the lowest, and you identified this year as the hardest, what have you seen that God has continually reminded you of his goodness and his grace?
So I think I've outlined some of the circumstances that he has, but he's also been at work in us as a family, and certainly me as an individual, just reminding me of what his love really looks like, and not just what that love looks like, but how I need to take that and apply it to the people around me. Because when you're in law enforcement, it's very easy to become cynical about people in general, because you're always seeing the worst side of them.
Yeah.
You're always seeing people at their very worst.
What do you do to fight that?
Hang out at your mother-in-law's house?
Right. That's a great way to do it.
Just have her like put her hand on you and hope some of it rubs off on you.
Right.
Yeah.
I do two things. I remind myself that this is not who God created them to be, and that there is room in my life for a redeemed version of that person, for the person that God has created them to be.
That's good.
So when you're talking to somebody who is accused of something really horrible or who you've personally had confrontations with in the past, it allows you to extend God's grace to them in that moment. And I'm not always great at it. I'm not going to claim that I successfully accomplish that every time.
Yeah.
Because there are times when I can be very short with people and basically say, in this moment, I don't care how you're feeling. This is what's going to happen and this is what you're going to do, or there will be consequences.
It comes with a job.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
And it also, you even identified, it comes with being a human, that you are still becoming who you are called to be.
Right.
You might be, because you're in Christ, you might be closer to the version that God has called you to be than somebody that's accused of whatever. But everyone in that space is less than who God created them to be. So reminding yourself of that keeps you in grace.
Right. And, you know, that's true of all of us. Mm-hmm. It's just a little more obvious with the people that I deal with on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And so it makes it, it does help also to remind myself that, you know, I'm not perfect. Actually, I'll tell you a story. I won't name any names, but I had the opportunity to tell someone who was coming out of court under some minor circumstances, but you could tell that it was really bothering them that this was something that a decision that they had been caught up in and they were facing some consequences because of it.
Was this Jong?
yes, that's why we're not naming names. No.
He's not allowed to say.
My bad.
It's not legal for him to say.
But I got to tell them, look, you know, this isn't something that follows you forever. Mm. This is something that you can work through. You can continue to, you know, if you continue to do the right thing from this point on, this is going to be gone in a couple of years. Mm. This isn't going to be something that follows you forever.
Mm. And school perspective.
When I was home from college for a weekend, I guess it was summer break, my cousins came down to visit and my brother and I and my two male cousins went for a hike in the woods. We had took a couple guns with us because there had been a cougar sighting in the area. I grew up in a very rural area and we had a very high cat population. And there had been some livestock depredations very recently and a cat sighting that day within a mile of my house. Mm. So we
Were you on a mission to try to?
No, our cousins were in town and they were kind of city boys. And so we decided we're going to go for a walk. We're just going to go hike in the woods. And the initial plan was to just take the logging roads. But, you know, it's late teens, early 20s guys. We're going off in the brush.
Blaze your own trail.
Absolutely. So that's what happened. I mean, we get to the top of the hill, took the logging road to the top, and we're looking down on the road that we want to go back down to. We're like, why on earth should we take the logging road? It's downhill from here. Let's just crash through the brush. Yeah. So I had a pistol with me and I did not have a holster for it. Mm. And in order to better facilitate my path to the bottom, I stuck it in my pocket.
Oh. Mm.
And we get down to the bottom of the road and we start hiking back to the house and up rolls about 3 or 4 sheriff's office rigs. Oof. And my brother has his rifle over his shoulder and these guys are very serious. And I could tell they'd been called out to something that they were uncertain what exactly they were going to find. They told us that they'd been called out to shots fired.
Oh, wow.
And
not a good look for you guys.
No, not at all. We had not fired a shot this entire time that we'd been out hiking around and we'd been out for a couple hours.
So you pulled your gun on them.
Right. So we start talking to him and of course they address the rifle. They ask my brother, is it loaded? He says, yeah, there's not one in the chamber. And he says, okay, just keep it where it's at. Don't move it. He says, okay, I can do that. And he asks if there's any other guns with this. And I very slowly pulled that sucker out. And not only was I underage, I was concealing a gun without
concealed carry.
Without a concealed carry. Yeah. And they were very gracious with me and they said, okay, you know, we understand the circumstances. We're not going to knock you for this one, but don't do that again. I was shaking at that point.
Yeah.
Because I realized that could have gone very, very badly in so many different ways. And I know that better even now as a law enforcement officer.
Man, I bet.
I understand, you know, the position that I put those guys in that moment.
Yeah. Rolling up to shop, going out to hear shots fired and then coming up on a bunch of guys with guns, visible guns.
Right.
Yeah, that could have gone real bad.
Could have gone real very fast. Bad. And they could have taken me to jail that day. And they did not. Mm. They were understanding and they treated me with grace. Mm. And that's something that, you know, sometimes you have the leeway to do that as a law enforcement officer and sometimes you don't.
Sure.
But in that circumstance, I was extended a great deal of grace. And it's not something that follows me to this day.
Because if they would have wanted to charge you, take you in.
They could have.
And would you even be able to have the job you have today if that was on your record? Or how would that have worked?
By now, I could have had it expunged.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it would have been several more years.
Yeah. Not a fun.
Oh, yeah. And path. It's something that anytime I do a background check, that's something I'm absolutely sure to tell them about. But because they want to know every time that you've had an interaction with law enforcement. So I get to tell the story. Well, this one time.
Mm. How much time it's you also, got?
Right.
I got a few stories.
Yeah. Well, actually, I was a pretty good kid and young man. And that's the only time that I probably did something that could have really got me in trouble and I got caught. Mm. So I'm very, very blessed that didn't happen.
So you carry that kind of not only because of your relationship with Christ, you're aware of grace, mm-hmm. but because of your instances and experiences on this earth as a human being,
right?
You're aware of grace and you carry that into your job.
And I selectively share that story sometimes.
Sure.
Look, you messed up. Mm. You're human. I'm human. I've messed up. And this kind of thing, it doesn't follow you forever. Mm. This is something that if you choose to make some changes and you choose the right thing every day, then this can be something that you set behind you and keep going. Mm. It's not something that's easy, especially when you're dealing with something like addiction, but it's something that is possible. Mm-hmm. And I think that God makes it possible. I know that in my life, if it wasn't for God and that little tap on the shoulder that says, and this is kind of a bad idea. Mm-hmm. That
yeah, wrong road.
Yeah. Right. Right. Don't go crashing through the brush here. Take the road. It's right in front of you.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's some of it is just getting older in life, but I think it's also growing in your relationship with the Lord. How quickly you learn to listen to the check. Mm-hmm. Or as a kid, you're just like, that's stupid. I'm just going to do whatever.
Right.
And now, and again, some of it's age, but I also know some young people that are very mature in their faith that they listen to the check already. They don't need age to teach them that lesson. But
right,
but yeah, as we grow with the Lord, listen to the check. It's good.
I did growing up about 95% of the time, but that 5%, man, I tell you what,
got you every time.
I needed some of those to learn. It's a little bit of a slow learner sometimes.
Well, did you ever figure out who was actually shooting out there?
No idea. We
did you hear the shots fired? Nope.
We'd been out there for a couple hours and we never heard any shots. So no idea.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think perhaps somebody had seen us because it was the road we were on was on the way to a state park. And so I think perhaps somebody driving by may have seen my brother with the rifle.
And the story kind of evolved to be something.
Exactly.
Well, I couldn't figure out where the story was going at first because I was thinking John either got attacked by a cougar. Mm-hmm. He shot himself with his gun.
Right.
He pulled a gun on a cop. I wasn't really sure.
Yeah. Every sentence just opened up a new possibility.
I know. Right. And then it turns out to be grace in the end. I was like, oh, this is way better. I was literally looking at you like, I'm thinking there might be bullet holes. Like,
I've seen a few of those. That's not pretty.
I bet.
Yeah. It's kind of surreal. Mm. Anyway, we won't go into those stories.
So in your role as a husband, as mm-hmm. a father, working in the, as up at the courthouse, what's a challenge you have faced in that specific season of life that you're in? That you've mentioned a few of the things that you face, but what's the personal challenge that you've been facing in this season for you to become more like who God's called you to be in this season?
It can be difficult to leave work at work. Mm. And not bring some of that home with you. And in my attitude, it can be easy to...
You start interrogating your daughter?
Like. No, but sometimes what I do, talking about
let
like,
me see your hands. This
kid, keep it where I can see them.
You're smuggling something in that diaper, aren't you?
What's in the diaper?
No, it's the thing I struggle with the most, I think, is to say this is the way it's going to be. And if you continue to make this choice, there's going to be consequences and there's rewards if we go this way, which isn't a bad parenting technique, but presentation can go a long way. Mm-hmm. And I can't necessarily bring the dad cop voice to the table. Yeah. Sometimes my soft-hearted daughter needs a little bit of a more tender approach than say, you know, this guy that's in here for his, you know, 15th arrest or something.
Yeah. A different approach. Sure.
Yeah.
That's probably wise. Yeah.
I could see how you got there. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just talking to somebody about how kids, especially like infants under the age of one or two, they are in some ways like puppies. They don't necessarily understand the words you're saying, but they understand your tone and your volume
really
well. And I could be saying like, I could be saying the right thing, but if I'm saying it the wrong way to my girls, it can crush them.
Absolutely.
And it's devastating.
I love you.
I don't have kids, but it's very similar with my wife.
Sure.
She did just hear that comparison. I'm just going to throw that out there. You're going to have to be a darn good editor.
Your wife's like a puppy.
My wife loves puppies. That's a compliment.
Yeah, I bet she would love hearing that. Jen, you are a puppy.
Oh man, she's probably weeping right now. Yeah.
Tears of joy. So what helps you overcome that temptation to bring the stress and probably you can really easily just like amplify things at work because it's an amplified environment. So what helps you de-amplify as you come home?
Actually, in law enforcement, if you've been reading the news at all, de-escalation is a really big deal right now.
Yeah. Yes.
And so that's something that I do try and take to work with me.
That's good.
Rather than go straight to the note, this is how it's going to be. And these are the consequences. If you don't, trying to reason with people and trying to bring a little bit of a softer approach. Mm-hmm. You have to be, someone once described my brother as a Mack truck with a velvet bumper. And I think that's a really right kind of a strange analogy.
What a great visual, though. Right?
But that's that kind of an awesome approach though. That you have to bring a little bit. You have to kind of have this, has to be kind of soft but unbending. Mm-hmm. Like there's some things you just can't bend on, but you have to bring a little bit of a finesse to it and say, okay, these are the reasons that we do this way. Mm-hmm. And many people they respond well to that most of the time.
The scripture says, wise as serpents, but soft as doves.
Absolutely.
That's how we're called to function.
Absolutely.
And even outside of law enforcement, we know that when we escalate and make demands, sometimes we just put people in fight or flight, which makes people do silly things.
Yeah.
So that's really great. What are some tactics? Have they been doing any training with it being a big conversation right now?
Trainings have been a bit of I won't go into it too much.
But sure.
Trainings have been a bit of a struggle just because you're limited on the number of people that you can have
sure.
in a given
yeah.
room.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So trainings have been...
We've experienced a little bit of that in
right.
church as well.
Right.
Yeah. And
that's a very similar application there, but a lot of... I mean, we are still training, but a lot of it's had to be online.
Yeah.
And
I would imagine that specific type of training, you have to be able to read the moment.
You do. And one of the big benefits to being law enforcement in a small town is that you develop a relationship with the people that you deal with. Mm. And so many times when you come into a situation that might be confrontational, odds are very good that you know the person that you're talking to. You've dealt with them before. And so not only are you can bring past experiences with that person to the table, but you can also use that opportunity to build on that relationship and try and, even if it is a crappy situation, you can at least say, you know what, we've been through something like this before and we're going to make it through this one. Or there's a lot of things that you can, similarities between what I would classify as a normal outside relationship and just bring it to the table. I mean, you're a real person, they're a real person, and treating them as such goes a long way.
Mm, that's good.
And you really try not to treat somebody like they're stupid. I mean, just bring the grade school.
But what if they are stupid?
Again, let's go back to that instance you had with Chong when he was in the courthouse.
You treated me like I was stupid.
Yeah, you called me stupid, actually. Kidding.
Have you found like physical activity helps with any of this?
It absolutely does.
Because yes. I'm looking at you and you look like you've been working out.
I have been. Yes. It helps.
Relieve the things at home. And
yeah.
Okay.
It does. So I've been back to the weight room. I've been, the dreaded cardio.
Oh
my goodness.
I hate it.
I hate cardio so much, but I've had to make it part of my routine.
How do you get your cardio in?
Treadmill and heavy bag.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to suggest a heavy bag because that's great. I've heard that's really great. Chong likes to ride bike.
Yeah, you want to go biking? We can get your cardio up.
You know, I'm really okay with that. I'm good. Appreciate the offer.
So much better on your knees than running.
I'll call you. We'll get this going. I'll call you.
You know what's sad? Months ago, we were doing a podcast and we talked about going on a bike ride. Uh-huh. But I my chain on my bike broke. And here we are months later. I still haven't fixed
it. You haven't fixed that chain yet?
No. Well, we've had a few things going on. We'll do my interview another time. We'll talk about it later. So a few things going on, but
I'm
going
to rat out a couple people I work with.
Okay.
Name names.
No names.
No, we have a policy that if you're celebrating somebody, then you can name names. But if it's anything less than celebrating, we'll just keep their names out of it.
A couple of the people that I work with are very, very fit and they are big into Peloton right now.
Oh,
Peloton, yeah. Like that expensive, like house bike.
Yes.
Yeah. That's not biking though.
I was going to ask if that's something you do, John.
I've got a house bike, but it's kind of boring. Like I'm all about the real deal.
You like the OC things?
Yeah.
They need to make like a video game that's a result of you pedaling. Then I might be more into
Remember
it.
At McDonald's, they had, I think, these games that were powered by you pedaling.
Oh.
And they were trying to get you to like eat your Big Mac or your chicken nuggets while pedaling and you could play a game. I don't think it worked, but
probably not. The one that I've seen, I don't know. Maybe Chong will edit this one out, but I'll talk about it right now anyway.
Okay.
Is the urinals with the video games above and
isn't that such a great idea though?
It's a great like there's virtual targets
like you can
hit. Yeah, it is. It's like Duck Hunt in a urinal.
Oh smart. Man, that would be smart. Like, oh man, I want one of those in my house.
That's how you get to pay. That's how you pay.
I've been trying
to make guys pay to go pee right there.
I've been trying to tell my wife we need to get a urinal in the house and she's not buying it.
The convenience. We might have a bathroom remodel in our future. Maybe I'll try to.
We should put a urinal in your bathroom.
Yeah, with Duck Hunt.
Right.
Get the dog. I cannot believe how derailed this guy.
My bad.
No, it's great. Love it. This is you, listener. You knew what you were in for.
We're coming up on our annual year.
Yeah. We've already passed 100 episodes.
That was 70 episodes ago.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So like by now we're just anything goes. If you're still listening, you.
If you're listening, join us so you can be in on the shenanigans.
Yeah, seriously though, if you're out there and you want to be a part of this podcast, we want you to be. This is fun. Yeah.
So what would you say to go back to
get any, back on topic?
Any topic?
Are we back on the urinal or?
So you've mentioned some of the hardships of this year. What have been some of the like positive surprises of this season, which includes new job? Mm-hmm. Includes
a new house,
includes a new, just figuring out a whole new season as we have a global pandemic and new roles in different places. What's been some of the positive surprises you've seen?
I think probably the biggest surprises outside of the job and the house have been changes that God has been working on in me. I mean, relationship with God is one of those things that's always changing. He loves you too much to leave you where you're at. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, even if things are hard, God is still growing you. And sometimes growth requires a little bit of discomfort or a lot of bit of discomfort. Mm-hmm. And
well, we were just talking about working out, right?
Right.
That's what it is. Mm-hmm. That's what growth is hard times sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes. Yeah. And so I think a lot of the surprise good things that have come out of this year have been as a result of those hard things that God has been showing me in my own heart, in my life, areas that I may have pushed into the closet, things that I just kind of pushed aside. The difficulties in life will bring out other difficulties in your life. It's going to show you the areas that things are not good in. Mm-hmm. You're going to say, okay, I've got some crappy stuff going on. And sometimes when you are examining why those things happen, sometimes there isn't a reason for that in your life. And sometimes when crappy things are happening, it's because of your own decisions. Mm-hmm. And so it forces you to examine the root cause of these problems, mm-hmm. and to say, okay, is there something in me, God, that is causing these things to happen, is causing struggles in my marriage or, you know, relationship with my kids or my neighbors? Is there something that I need to be doing or something that I need to allow you to do, more importantly, that will let this be something goes away, you know, will let this be a thing of the past? So that's kind of the surprise for me. Because I've felt for a while now that, you know, I kind of had my life personally cleaned up. Things were pretty good. A lot of the habits and thought patterns that I'd fallen into in my college years, they've been gone for years. And it just means that some really subtle new ones have crept in, and 2020 has brought those out. Mm-hmm. So it's been challenging, but good.
Yeah. I think we've seen it on a personal level, on a church level, on a national level.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that are going on in the season that it's not like they just came out of nowhere. It's just we had a routine to keep them covered.
Right.
And kind of ripped off the Band-Aid with some of the events that now we have to face.
Right.
What's underneath and see wholeness and see healing. Because one thing, I know nothing, but the one thing is that God knew.
Right.
God has a plan in this season.
Right.
I know nothing of what's ever going to happen. That has become made more and more apparent every single day as we try to make plans and they get changed. But God absolutely has a plan.
Yes.
And he does. I think not in any way saying God brought on COVID onto this world by any means, but we know that what the enemy meant for evil, God will use for good. And he's using it to expose some things that are painful and hurtful.
Right.
And not just on a national level. I mean, we know this is a global thing happening and lots of people are shook.
Right.
So we as a church, as believers, get to point to Jesus and say, he's got a plan, but it does take the, okay.
Yes.
Work with my heart first.
Right. I'm a big geek. You guys know this. I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fan. Probably my favorite piece that Tolkien ever wrote is actually at the beginning of the Silmarillion, where he's talking about the creation of Middle Earth. And it's basically sung into existence. His equivalent of God, Iluvatar, orders all of his angels to sing for him. And there's one particularly who the kind of the Satan analog says, I want this song for myself. I want to take it over. I want to mold it to what I want it to do. And every time he tries to change it, the Iluvatar starts over and it takes whatever the discord was and brings it into an even more beautiful melody. And there's nothing that he can do in this music to make it so that it sounds bad or sounds the way he wants it to. And so even if each decision in our life is a note, then we can't make a note that's so bad and so off that God can't take that note and make it part of his melody.
Mm. That's awesome.
It's a picture that has really stuck with me.
Mm. That makes me really excited that Amazon purchased the rights to Lord of the Rings. See if we get some of that.
That part, unfortunately. But anyway, you guys just got a glimpse into the depths of my geekdom.
Love it.
So
I love it.
I'm impressed.
I heard they're working on Silmarillion, though. They've committed, it's like a $1 billion budget that they've committed to the show.
So this is, it's not that part of the Silmarillion, but they didn't actually get the rights to the Silmarillion.
Oh, well.
They have committed $1 billion to it, but
that's wild.
It's crazy. It's the
I don't even know what's happening right now.
This is off topic, but this is fascinating to me. I love it.
You guys.
Because if they've committed $1 billion to the show, this is a company that is like, you know, they make money. So if they're committing $1 billion, that must mean it's at least worth more than that. Otherwise, they wouldn't invest that much into it.
Right.
This is wild.
They put out $250 million just for the rights.
Yeah, just to have the stories.
Right. Which is a bigger budget than most TV shows ever see.
Yeah.
You guys are right, nerds.
Wow. <We are. laughs> Hey, I gave you a disclaimer before we started down this route.
So, speaking of finances, if you had an extra piece of budget mm-hmm. in your life, what's something that you would do with it? Just out of curiosity, if you were like gifted a piece of financial blessing, mm-hmm. what's something you're passionate about right now that you would do with finances?
How big of a piece of
financial blessing? Let's say you get, let's use headlines.
Okay.
Let's say you get $2,000 or yeah, your $2,000. So what do you have in mind that you would be able to do with that blessing?
So right now we are actually doing a remodel on the house. We're making there's a room attached to my shop that's, we're turning into a studio apartment. Mm. And one of the things that we want to do with that is just use it to bless people. If there's somebody who, you know, needs a place to stay for a little while, something that we can do to bless them and let them stay there for a little while. Obviously, we'd be a little bit selective with who we allowed to stay there, but
yeah,
no cats.
You're right, exactly.
Yeah. Being a landlord is
Tell you what, as the court security deputy, you see a lot of landlord tenant issues, and it makes you realize just how messy and bad they can be.
Sure,
I'm a carpet cleaner. I see those same issues.
Yeah,
I'm
you sure. come in after they get kicked out.
I'm a part of the whole process.
I also was a college renter, so
yeah,
I was on the other side of that too. I didn't have a specific thought behind that question. I just thought maybe we could tie in our rabbit trail back into dreams and vision.
I think that something else that has really come into focus for me as a law enforcement officer and as somebody living on this planet through COVID mm-hmm. in the United States is the mental health crisis that we're having in mm-hmm. our world right now. Mm-hmm. And Union County is a wonderful place to live, and we are woefully underfunded in that area. Mm. There's just not enough funding for the programs that some people really need in that area. There's facility.
I actually look at my wife in this scenario because that's what she does.
Right.
And they're not paying her hardly anything.
Right. And they're overwhelmed.
Yeah. And she really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stress levels. And I think we just can often forget that mental health is health.
Right.
Spiritual health is health.
Right.
Sure.
These are all components of being healthy individuals. And we can look and say, well, physically I'm fine, but that's not the sum total of how you actually are. And mental health is an ongoing issue. And this season has cranked it to 11 because there's a lot of unknowns, which is we identified there's always unknowns.
Sure.
There's always has been unknowns, but this is like in our face unknown.
There's kind of a tongue-in-cheek saying that I'm fond of that says there's no degrees of insanity, only degrees of ability of concealing it. Mm. And I think there's some truth to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
can't hide it anymore. Right. We're all crazy.
COVID's kind of brought that out. The people that were really pretty solid, now they might have some slight anxiety issues or something. Mm-hmm. And the people that maybe fell into some kind of minor mental health. I mean, everybody's just shifted a rung down the ladder as far as mental health goes. And that means the people that were already kind of on the bottom rung are just pushed off completely. Mm, wow. And it's become very obvious because in Union County, there's no place for them to go. There's no real continuous support for them in a lot of ways. Mm. I mean, people like Jen are there for them every day, but they don't. None of us all see the full picture in that area.
Yeah, sure.
And so what she does is amazing. And I'm so glad that we have people like her. But like if there was an inpatient mental health treatment facility in Union County, like if I got $2 million instead of $2,000 in that hypothetical, that's where it would go. Mm. Is some kind of inpatient.
Where is the nearest option?
I believe that would be Juniper Ridge in John Day. Mm. I believe there might be one closer than that. But
wow.
So I want to continue to talk about the things that you've learned in this and the good that's come out of it and the things that we get to celebrate. Now, you described a really horrifying incident in the ER where your whole life was flashing before your eyes. You didn't know what's going to come out of this thing. And it was either about to get really bad or it was going to get really good. Mm-hmm. Take me back to the ER. You're in the hall praying, trying to figure out what's next. And suddenly you did get the call that she's going to make it. Mm-hmm. What was that like? What was she like in that moment?
She was really disoriented. She kind of, because I could see her. I wasn't completely blocked off. She kind of came to and was shaking her head a little bit. And you could tell she was kind of clearing some cobwebs and kind of pushed the nurse off of her that was doing CPR. And,
get off me, right, lady.
Like, what's going on? And to hear her describe it, that's exactly what was happening. She described it as kind of like the, you know, the movies when somebody's coming to and their senses are kind of echoey. Things really aren't quite in focus. And everything sounds like an echo. That's kind of what she's described to me a couple of times. But in that moment, I don't think I have the words to describe that sense of relief to know that, okay, she's okay. There's still that sense of, you know, what if something like this happens again? Yeah. What if this is not the end? What if she passes out again? Uh-huh. My thought in that moment actually was, oh my gosh, what if she was out long enough that there was some kind of brain damage?
Yeah.
One of my greatest personal fears is to have to, because when I married my wife and I said, for better or worse, I meant it. And to all of a sudden say, okay, what if that means caring for an invalid?
Yeah.
What if that means that she is no longer the person that I married? And to have those thoughts in that moment was really scary. And so it didn't necessarily, I mean, there was a sense of relief and okay, she's physically okay, but there was also still a tremendous amount of fear.
Yeah.
Because my brain is still playing scenarios. Mm-hmm. It's still trying to process everything that happened and everything that could happen. And, you know, that's something that you try and as law enforcement, you try and do, you say, okay, what's happening and what could happen?
Yeah. Play out scenarios.
You absolutely play out scenarios. Yeah. And it's not just, it's a critical form of training to say, okay, if this happens, how am I going to respond to this? If somebody walks through the door at the courthouse with a gun, what am I going to do? What response do I make? And so in a crisis situation, that's kind of my go-to way of thinking. Mm-hmm. And so I'm in this situation with my wife. Things have gotten a little bit better, but I'm also saying, okay, what are the options? What's going to happen? What could happen?
Yeah.
And so there was still a tremendous amount of fear right in that moment.
It wasn't like immediately back to baseline. Everything's good.
Right.
It took a little bit to get back to.
It did. It took a few minutes.
Maybe even days after coming home and all those things for Kara to feel 100% confident and well.
To me, it was incredibly reassuring to see the doctors and nurses when you've responded to emergencies like that. You get a sense for when people return to kind of a normal way of doing things. Mm-hmm. And so to see them go from this is an emergency and we're treating it like one to, okay, this is routine and we're back to normal now. That gave me a tremendous sense of relief. Mm-hmm. But it took a couple minutes for that to return to normal, for it to be really obvious that they weren't in a rush anymore, that they weren't in a crisis mode, that they were business as usual.
I think we've all seen scenarios like that played out in movies.
Sure.
And we have that moment of relief and elation where everybody's jumping around and confetti's flying. Probably, I realize that's a sanitary issue in a hospital. But you know what I mean? Like,
but the metaphor holds.
Thank you.
The air horns.
Yeah, we know that moment in the movie.
The guy right? in the coma on the third floor wakes up.
Yeah. But I think what most people don't put into perspective is what you just described.
Yeah.
The what ifs, there's so much more to that moment than, you know, what we've seen on TV.
Right.
There's the rippling implications of what could be, especially when we're talking about your personality. You know, you are literally trained to play out scenarios. So you lived out that horror longer than in the hallway. You lived out the what ifs too while she was coming too.
Right.
So it was more than just those 3 minutes. It was.
I would say a grand total of probably 5.
Yeah.
I mean, one, like,
or 1,000, roughly the same.
Right. It felt like 1,000. That's for darn sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. In real time. Yeah. It was probably about 5 minutes of absolute terror. But once you kind of realize that, okay, they're not in crisis, so I'm not going to be either. That means that things are probably relatively normal. Mm-hmm. They're still being efficient. They're still doing their jobs, but they're no longer. Doesn't matter how well you train in an emergency. There's a little bit of a chicken with your head cut off scenario.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how much you train. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so to see that go away and for them to return to business as usual was a huge relief. Huge relief. And, you know, I've been on car crashes working with EMS and other medical personnel.
Mm-hmm. You've seen it go very badly.
I've seen it go very badly. And I was fortunate enough on one crash to have a doctor on scene when I got there. And so to see somebody who is used to working in a hospital under very sanitary conditions, but he's still treating it the same way as he would as if they were on his operating table, to see that kind of business attitude, but to also see him go from crisis to business as usual back and forth. Anybody who has that training and responds to those situations, they respond in a very similar way.
Mm-hmm. So, well, shout out to all of our nurses and first responders, and especially this time of year, we've asked them to be on the front lines of some really scary times. I'm almost numb to this phrase, but this unprecedented time that we're in.
I'm numb to this
phrase.
I don't hear it anymore.
Almost to the point where it makes me throw up in my mouth a little bit.
Like, I'm just craving precedented times, just anything normal. But yeah, we know there's people that so many lives were interrupted with the season, but for so many other people, they still had to go into work. Yeah. And in a lot of ways, they were first responders, medical workers, police. They're on the front lines that we...
Yeah.
They're putting their hard hat on, so to speak, and going to work. So
yeah, we thank you for so much more than just the COVID relief. It's all the things that you already do on top of this.
And it's a pleasure to work with those men and women because they're awesome.
Yeah. So how do you, as a father, how do you then go home to your daughter and explain, what do you explain to your daughter? How do you communicate? Not just this particular moment, but how have you explained any of this season to your daughter, the trials that you and Kara have faced?
Fortunately, she's young enough that she doesn't necessarily fully understand all of it. Mm-hmm. You know, we told her that mommy had to be at the hospital, and, you know, I saw her a couple times for an hour at a shot when Kara was in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Maxine just took care of her, and it was amazing.
Speaking of people on the front lines.
Right. Absolutely.
Maxine.
So she's just coming. She's 2.5. And so this last year from 1.5 to 2.5 has been, you know, there's so much development that happens in that year. And we've seen her going from a little toddler who says mama and dada to running and playing catch and full sentences all within a year.
We're still waiting for Chong to hit that point.
I'll come around.
I don't know why I keep picking on you.
I know.
Love you.
We good?
Yeah, we're good.
There's something you want to say to me, bud?
We're good.
All right, yeah.
But she doesn't really have a frame of reference for anything else. I mean, the year that she can really remember has been entirely COVID. So this is normal to her.
This is precedented
this
times.
This is exactly to a 2.5-year-old.
All she
absolutely.
Knows. It's all she knows.
Yeah,
business as usual.
It's all she knows. So she enjoys coming to see daddy at work. That's one of the perks at the courthouse, is that my daughter can come visit me at work.
Man, you are probably really cool to her at work.
Do you make her go through the metal detectors and everything?
Oh, she loves to run through the metal detector.
I bet.
Yeah. Have to stop her from going through the X-ray machine, though.
Just lay down on the conveyor belt.
No.
She doesn't like conceal a weapon and try and get through.
Right. No, she hasn't tried that one yet.
Good.
I'll talk to her.
Okay.
We'll start to have some fun.
Or a little plastic kitchen knife in her belt or something.
No. Yeah, that's an interesting age because they are starting to become aware of some things.
Right.
But the blessing of being that age is also they're not totally aware. But I was just curious, you know, being a parent of kids at different ages, there are conversations that a lot of parents are having with kids that I bet, listener, you never thought you were going to have this conversation.
Right.
But so I feel like that's kind of
parenting in general, though. There's a lot of conversations that you have that you just never thought you ever would have.
Yeah. COVID or no COVID. So yeah, I just was curious, and listener, we'd love to hear from you as well. Just how are you communicating these seasons to kids? Because we don't want to forget that generation that's watching. They're watching us as we pave new ground.
And
so
they are learning.
They're learning
very quickly.
Yeah,
I think that she knows, like, daddy's a police officer. Daddy's a sheriff's deputy. She knows that. She could tell you that, but she doesn't really fully understand what that means.
Sure.
And so she sees me in my work clothes and she'll, daddy, you going to work? That kind of thing. But it's... because it's such a steady routine position, that really kind of helps her process that.
Sure.
She knows it's a work day and daddy's going to work and he'll see me tonight. And, you know, if you're out on the road, that might not be the case. That, mm-hmm. you know, those guys sacrifice so much family time because if you're out working and you get an arrest at, you know, you're supposed to be off at 5 o'clock and you get an arrest at 4:45 or you get a traffic crash at 4:30, you're going to be late.
I guess I'm just going to let you go because I got a clock off. So
right.
See you later. Yeah. Don't do it again.
Yeah. It's not how that works.
Oh, so,
sorry, Chong.
That's what did I do? You guys. It's you that would be the bad cop, Cam.
Oh, I would have a lot of fun.
Yeah, you probably would.
There's no question there. I might not be good at it, but I'd have a lot of fun.
You probably try to arrest people on a skateboard.
Scary thing is he'd probably pass the background check, too.
Oh. Yeah, I don't got anything that's on record. What are some resources, some books or music or podcasts or anything that you found useful that you could pass on to our family in this season?
You know, I love Mere Christianity. That's one of my go-to books all the time. C.S. Lewis, I don't recommend him as like a light, happy, fluffy read.
Yeah.
Because that's a super, I mean, it's like chewing on last week's meatloaf. It's thick and it's going to
I made the mistake of getting the audiobook, which is awesome. You know, that sounds great, but it's so... You can't just passively listen to it.
No.
You really, I highly recommend it as well, but sit down.
Yeah.
Sit down for it. Just read through it. Chew on it sentence by sentence.
If you are ever feeling nostalgic about your college days and decide you want to read something that reminds you of trying to read a college book, yeah, definitely good one for that. Because it's very heady. It's very thought-provoking. It's well written, but it's not language that we use all the time today. And so it takes some processing. But I love that one. As far as I haven't really discovered anything that's like life-breaking and new as far as resources and things like that. It's just been reading my Bible. It's been watching some very familiar faces on YouTube as far as church stuff goes when we weren't able to meet. You know, Judah Smith, Robert Morris, those guys.
We're having Judah on next week, so stay tuned for that one.
Fantastic. So
Chong, we're not.
I know. I got you.
Okay. Right. Not that I know of anyway. Well, I'll try. I'll give a call to Jobin and see if we can get
Jobin. Right.
As we wrap up though, those are some great book. Highly recommend it. Do you have any words you'd want to share with our family as we close?
I would just encourage my church family to, obviously we're not in a normal circumstance still.
Unprecedented, even.
Unprecedented. I'm going to kick you under the table, sir.
What one might say.
Right.
Unprecedented. And then get kicked by John.
I would just encourage you to really especially continue to focus on looking for those opportunities to show the love of Christ to the people in your path, because there's just not as many of them these days. I mean, even in the courthouse, the volume of people that come in is reduced. And so you don't see as many people on a day-to-day basis as you normally would. And so just being intentional about loving the people that God has put in your path for that day.
That's really good.
It's good.
Alan Hirsch is an author. He's very missionally minded. And he talked about how when you're teaching somebody to play chess, you actually remove the queen. So they learn how to use all the pieces instead of focusing on the one piece.
Okay.
And I feel like as a church, what we've done is Sunday was kind of our queen. Like that's the big piece.
Yeah.
And when we lose that big piece, I think what we've realized is we haven't learned the whole board yet. We have to learn how to do discipleship outside of just Sunday morning. We have to learn how to do worship as individuals outside of just Sunday morning. And so to your point is, yeah, things have been interrupted. And we're interacting with people a lot less, but we can use that as an opportunity to learn skills in our life, learn the whole board that we've been called to play on, been called to live as we engage in this kingdom and bring glory to God.
Absolutely.
So thank you, John, for being with us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Blessing over you and your family. We'll continue to be praying. Listener, if you want to know more, you can reach out to John or email the show and we'd love to get you connected.
My phone number has not changed since the last church directory. Hasn't changed since high school. So of course, you guys are welcome to reach out to me anytime if you have questions for me or just want to stop by and have some coffee at the courthouse.
Nice. What if I need somebody to bail me out?
No, not going to happen.
Can you vouch for me if I'm
after today? I'm not going to do it.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure. You and Kara are incredibly wonderful, lovely people that we feel blessed to have in our life.
Thank you.
So thank you for being a part of the family.
Blessed to have you guys. Blessed to have this church family. And we are looking forward to a time when we can be back all together again.
Yeah.
It feels like kind of like the family reunion where there's like a conflicting one somewhere else. And so only part of everybody shows up at any one given time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
We will.
There will be a day.
It will happen.
I'm excited for it.
It might not be on this earth, but it'll happen again.
It'll happen. Yep. We're excited for it.
Mm-hmm.
So listener, thanks for being with us. We love you and God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Faith Center Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review for daily and weekly content. Once again, if you would like more information about Faith Center, you can visit lg4square.com. That's lg4square.com. And you can email the show at podcast@lg4square.com. Thanks for listening, and God bless.